All righty, guys. It is that time of the day. It is Rick Ginn, and you are on the Rick Ginn YouTube channel. And today, I am going over one of my favorite topics. And actually, for some reason, it's controversial. And the only reason it's controversial is because it makes a crap load of money. So if you guys want to tune in today, we are talking about how to use the go for no method and how to give systematic lowball offers where you don't get kicked out and get your wholesale deals accepted. My name is Rick Ginn. I've been wholesaling for 21 years. And my only regret is it really took me probably 5 to 7 years to understand this concept. I'm going to explain this video. So what I want you to do is sit back, watch this video, and I'm going to hop right into it. And I'm going to explain this to you. And if you've never heard this before, it's going to really open your eyes. And if you truly want to be a wholesaler, not a realtor, this video is perfect for you, especially if you have little to no experience. So before I get into it, there's two ways you can contact with me. Number one, in the comment section, ask a question. The reason I do these Mondays so I can interact with more of you. The only dumb question is the one you don't ask. Ask a question, and hopefully I'll put it on there and we will answer it. The second way to get in contact with me is, let me put it in here. Let's see here. Let me copy it. We do a mastermind one-on-one. And what I'll do is I'll post it in my first comment here. And if you want to connect and you want to work with me one-on-one, if you want to go over a deal, if you want to go over mindset, heck, if you just want to talk to me, this is the best way to do it. It's first come, first serve. And I do that. And right after we do the teachment section. So let's get into it. Let's talk about go for no. I see you all on there. Feel free to use the chat and comment with each other. Everybody's here usually to learn how to wholesaling. I do not teach real estate agent 101. Go find another guru for that. I don't believe in any of that stuff because I am a wholesaler at heart. So we're talking about going for no. And like, what does Rick mean by going for no? And honestly, it took me years to understand this and a lot of pain, guys. I mean, a lot of pain. And here's what I found out, okay? The go for no, it's for real. Now, this not only relates to wholesaling, this can be a big portion of your life, and I'm going to explain why. You see, first of all, I got to set up the ground rules. So if you're using the go for no, this is what it's going to eliminate out of your life. So if you use my method of go for no, and I'm going to explain it in complete detail in this video. Number one, you'll never have to spend more than 10 minutes on a comp. And honestly, if you spend more than 10 minutes on the comp, please ask yourself, why am I spending so much time on a comp? Let me give you an example. If I had 10 people said, yeah, I might be interested in selling my house. Do you really believe all 10 of those people are motivated sellers? Odds are no. Maybe one or two. On a great day, maybe three. So if I run comps and you guys spend, you know, you spend 30 minutes or more because I watch you do it all the time. I used to do it. If I spend 30 minutes on running a comp for 10 people, that's what? 300 minutes, 300. That's like 2.5 hours for people that are most likely not even going to take your offer. So stop wasting time doing comps. If you use my go for no method, I'm going to teach you how to do it in reverse order. So most importantly, you snuff out motivated sellers, people that actually need to sell their house. They don't want to sell their house. I'm going to teach you the distinction between that today. Number two, you can stop like running comps for properties you're not even going to buy. So if you understand this, I'm here to save you from comp hell. Honestly, the only people who should comp a property more than 10 minutes are realtors because they have to get the perfect number right because they have to sell their client on what, how much they're going to make to cover their real estate expenses, the commissions. We don't do that as wholesalers. So I don't know why you guys spend so much time on comps. The second thing this is going to allow you to do, I told you to do three things, is you're going to avoid negotiation fatigue. What do I mean by that? A lot of you go on like marathons trying to negotiate with people. I used to, because I was constantly trying to soften the blow with the offer I was going to make. And honestly, I found out I wore out my sellers. I wore out myself. And I spent a lot of energy spinning my wheels. And honestly, if you use my go for no method, it's going to teach you how to get to the point and how to avoid the negotiation fatigue. Have you ever been in such a long negotiation? Like, you can even equate this to a breakup if you're young. Like, you ever try to break up with someone? Like honestly, you'd be better off just to get it over in like 5 minutes. I know it sounds harsh, but at the end of the day, if you were going to leave that person, you decide they're no good for you, why would you spend 2-3 hours breaking up with them? Negotiation's the same thing. Either you have to get to a point or you have to move on. And some of you think the longer you make the negotiations, the better it's going to be for you. It's actually the opposite. I learned this the hard way. Honestly, wholesaling has been an incredible opportunity for me to study the human psyche. And the go for no is 20 plus years of my experience dealing with motivated sellers. Now, the third thing, and boy, do I hang my hat on this one. I'm going to show you how to stop playing realtor with wholesaler ambitions. That's right. I have no problems with realtors. I love realtors to death. But we all know realtors deal with people who want to sell their house. Wholesalers deal with people who need to sell their house. And there is a very firm distinction between the two. Every now and then they do cross paths, but for the most part, let's be honest with you, realtors hate us. They think we're stealing business from them. They don't understand us. And it is the Hatfield-McCoy constant battle and feud. So if you feel like you're being somewhat of a realtor and you really want to be a wholesaler, this video is for you. I'm telling you, I see so many people every day in the real estate investing arena and they say, I'm in a wholesaler. And then I start talking to them. They sound like realtors. It means you don't understand wholesaling and you're trying to use realtor terminology to be successful in wholesaling. The reality is, honestly, if you got your real estate license, you already got your back pinned against the wall because you got trained by licensed and professional realtors in an area of wholesaling, which they have no business in doing. It's just the truth. So if you're okay overcoming those three things, this video is for you. So let's jump into it without further ado. And so if we're going to use the go for no method, I want you to think in your head, why would I come up with the go for no method? And by the way, there's a great small book written for it. I don't even have it with me. Anyways, I will give you a recommendation. There's a book called Go for No. It's like an hour read at most. And it aligns with the exact principles. I just apply it to wholesaling. So I'd like to tell you I invented everything. I don't. But I did come up with the phrase go for no in wholesaling because here's the reality. The reason you got to use go for no is because you guys are all doing this. You're going for a yes. Once again, you're in realtor world when you go for a yes. I guarantee you. Think about this. When a realtor goes on a listing, after they spent hours and hours on comps and they've talked to their broker, they've talked to everybody, they talked to other realtors, they come up with the perfect number and then they put a padding above it to incite their seller on how much money they're going to make on it. And their goal is to get them to say yes, even though 90% of realtors will tell you their initial listing is overpriced. Even when the client says, no, I don't want to go that high. They want to impress them and they want to get it signed because once they sign, then they're obligated. Now, when you go to wholesalers, our acceptance is on the contract, the purchase and sales agreement. So what most of you do are you doing this right here. You keep going for the yes. Why do you keep going for a yes? Honestly, I want a yes on my contract, but that should not be your initial response. You see, let's break it down further. If I say you need to use the going for no method and all of you are going for a yes, how did you come up with this philosophy? Number one, a lot of you use realtor mentality on it. You're trying to get the listing signed. We're not trying to get a listing. We're trying to get a purchase and sales contract signed so we can sell the contract. So you guys came up with what they call the MAO. And you guys can put it in the comments if you know what I'm talking about. It is just an acronym that has come up. And basically an MAO stands for maximum allowable offer. You guys have been programmed. You have been brainwashed in thinking this is where you need to wind up with the seller. And I'm here to tell you, it is your worst possible case scenario, in my opinion. So the reality is you have you have a range and your range looks like this. You have like a bottom line number, which honestly you'd buy the house up to a dollar. So it could be anywhere. And then you have a number called your MAO. Like that's the most I can pay. And if I hit that number, I'm out. So what do most wholesalers do? They calculate the MAO. So if I say the MAO is $250,000, guess what you just brainwashed your head in? 250. I can't pay more than 250. 250. I'm going in. 250. I'm going to get this done. Rick, it's 250 or broke. And what do? You knock like 10, 15,000 off of it thinking you're going to start. So if your MAO is 250, right? And then you start at like 235, 240, where are you going to go? There's nowhere to go with this. You can't make it work. The problem is you've been programmed to focus on the MAO and you brainwash yourself because you think you have to get a yes. Because the reality is if I don't get that, they're going to turn me down and they're going to reject me. So first and foremost, to understand the going for no, you have to stop making MAO offers. Just cut it out. Yes, you should know what your MAO is, but you should be nowhere near it to start an offer for a wholesale deal. Let me repeat that. Calculate what your maximal allowable offer is. And if it's 250, who taught you to take 10 or 15 grand off and start as your negotiation? It's ridiculous. It's the worst thing you could ever possibly do. Okay. When you do that, here is what you're doing. Here's the reality of what you're doing. Guys, this is beaten in your brain and you got to understand this. MAO is for retail buyers, meaning on market properties, AKA MLS. There's plenty of guys who will sell you this crap all day long. It doesn't work in wholesaling. Here's the reality is, if a property is on the market for $299,000 and not $299,900, most realtors go, we can offer you $287,500. That's the most my client can pay. That's our MAO. And somehow a lot of wholesalers use that exact same method when they get to wholesaling. That works for retail, but like even I got a strong argument against that. The reality is if you lowball a retail offer, they just shut you down and move on to the next. That's the truth. That's why I don't recommend doing it. That's why I don't mess with retail properties. And honestly, if I want something retail, I play the MAO game. Now, if I want a great deal and sell a contract, wholetail it or do whatever I want to do, the reality is I can't play the MAO game because there's nowhere to go. Think about this. If you offer the MAO, say it's 250 and you offer 237.5 and they reject you, what are you going to do now? Do you really think like another $5,000 is going to change the outcome of this negotiation? It's not. You are approaching it completely backwards. Honestly, so many times you guys say, well, okay, 237, when you take 242, and then here's what they do. No, they know they have you. They know you're going to go up. They know you got more to play around with, and you are now chasing the seller, and you don't even know if they're motivated. And you think you're wholesaling, but honestly, you're just retailing. You're playing AKA realtor. And so many dispositions companies play this game and they can do it. That's their business. But as a true wholesaler, you've got to get the best price from your seller. And you only can focus with, in my opinion, off-market properties. That's where you're gonna have the best success. Try to argue me on that. I guarantee there's better deals on that. And you have to deal with motivated sellers. So here's the first thing you need to do. Understand MAO is the max number and you shouldn't even be close to it to begin with. How do you negotiate that? That's like walking in a showroom and go, okay, it's a $50,000 car. I'll give you $49,500. Like, it's embarrassing. You should be embarrassed with your first number. I'm sorry. They need cash quick. It is an even exchange. You can't make somebody sell your house. No one's just going to give you the house. That's the reality. So for you to have success with this method, understand this. Stop trying to guess your seller's maximal allowable offer that you're going to present. Stop guessing because you're never going to get it right. It could be way above. Here's the reality, guys. If you stop guessing, none of you, like If I had like this ESP gene, or like I could read people's minds, I'd be a gazillionaire. Very few people have it, and the ones that say they have it, they're usually full of crap. So the reality is, if you don't know what it is, it's like playing poker or any card game with your friends. You have to play the game. And if you think you're going to guess the other person's cards, you're wasting your time. Imagine if you played poker and all you did was guess other people's cards. I got to figure if they're bluffing. I got to find out if they're holding an ace up their sleeves. It's hard. I suck at cards. That's why I don't really play it very well, or people just take my money. So you've got to understand this. So if you understand you have no telepathic ability to guess your seller's bottom line number, so your MAO, you're trying to match with their bottom line number. Do you understand how hard and impossible that is to do? You're wasting your time. Guys, I went through thousands and thousands of sellers before I had this epiphany, the go for no. You see, the truth is most sellers have the bottom line in their head. Let me know in the comments. I'm telling you, most sellers know exactly what their bottom line number is in their head. There is a few exceptions. Don't get me wrong. But for the most part, they go into the negotiation knowing what their bottom line number is. Here's the problem. You're trying to guess what the least amount they'll take and give you a yes. And you have a conflicting statement right there. You want the least amount, but you want them to say yes. So you're going to have to make an offer that is going to invoke a response from them that's going to scare the heck out of you. Okay? So if you know you're not supposed to guess what your seller's MAO is. So the MAO is basically, your MAO is usually going to be their bottom line number, and you're trying to get them to correspond with a yes. Do you know how hard that is to do? Guys, I can't even like figure out what my wife wants for dinner, much less what a seller wants for a number. So once I released this thing in my head where I'm going to try to figure out what they need, you go, no, they went to the Zillow number. They minused off realtors, commission, closing costs, and these repairs. And that's how they came up with the number. So you're 100% wrong. And some of them are way over. Here's the reality. They have it in their head, right? So do this right now. Stop trying to guess their number and just get it from them. Get it from them. Let me do a little exercise. Let me ask you this. If I make you an offer, say your house is worth $250. Say that's the real retail number. And say, I offer you a lower number. So, but say I offer pretty high. Say I offer you, making you an offer of $245. And I see this every day, by the way. You know what my thought is as a seller? If I thought my bottom line number was $235, $240, and you overshot it, you know what they're going to say? I got a sucker on the hook. And they're going to turn around and play you as a you trying to get their bottom line number. Because now you just exceeded their bottom line number. They go, well, he or she must have more to give. And now you are chasing the seller and you defeated the purpose of what you're supposed to be doing. You have to get it at a discounted price for you to sell your contract to a cash buyer. So suddenly you are now chasing the seller and they're baiting you into a number. And some of you actually pass your MAO. I don't even know how you do it. Who told you to do that? And you get emotionally charged, like you're trying to win this bid, like you're trying to buy this incredible home for your family. You're not. If you're truly in it to be a wholesaler, to actually make a profit, stop playing this ridiculous game of trying to get a yes on your first shot. It's not going to happen, guys. It never happens. Honestly, I got enough data. I am like saving you the pain of the way this happens. So stop trying to get it from them. Stop trying to guess and get the number. Okay, Rick. How do I ask for the number? Well, let's not overcomplicate this. I would like to say this to every seller, and you all know you want to say this deep down. Mr. Seller, what's the lowest price you'll sell this house for? End of story. Just give me the rock bottom number. Honestly, if you think you ask that question, you get a positive response. Do you think you'd actually get a number? And number three, most importantly, you think you'd actually get the truth? You wouldn't. It would incite them. And the games would only begin at that point. Okay. So let's think about this. How do we go for a no? Like, how can I use Rick's theory here? Rick's theory is tried, tested, and true with a lot of experience behind it, a ton. Let me tell you how to do it. So all you guys know how to do MAO, maximal allowable offer. Let me make this real simple. I'm going to switch it on you. So you have to think differently and you have to be unconventional as a wholesaler. Otherwise, you are nothing more than a fancy realtor. I got no problems with realtors, but when it comes to wholesaling, we are completely different in how we make our offers and how we do this. We're not going for listings. You're looking for the LAO. And all the LAO is this cute little acronym. I switch the M with an L, least allowable offer. Stop figuring out the MAO. Know your MAO. And honestly, if you're getting close to it, you got to ask yourself, do you really want to do this deal or not? Is it really going to make it worth your while? So when you do the least allowable offer, find out the starting point where you make an offer. Now, I'm not going to give you a number for it because it should hurt when you give the offer. And I'm not talking about physically hurt. It just makes you uncomfortable. Why? Because this is how the game is played. Ask me how I know. Guys, I have one of the most in-depth experience dealing with motivated sellers than anybody else in this industry. I've done it long. I've done it hard. I'm sure there's people with more experience, but I'm here to tell you, once I enacted this philosophy, my entire business changed. Everything got easier. The clarity was there and the deals got smoking hot. So if you want to figure out your least allowable offer, everybody wants some formula for this. There's not a formula. I'm not going to give it to you. Here's how you structure this offer. Ready? You simplify your offer to get a counter. That is your LAO. So if the property's worth 250, let's just do one. Stop offering 235, 232, 245. It's ridiculous. If you're that close to your MAO, that means if you get one no and you're going to get a no, I'm going to teach you how to get the no. You are going to pay retail for the property. You're going to come close to it and you're not going to make any money. So if you simplify your offer, the purpose of the go for no, I want you to understand this, is to incite a counter from your seller. Do you understand that? If we know we can't just say, hey, Mr. Seller, what's the cheapest you'll sell me this property? I mean, what number will you absolutely give it to me, your rock bottom price? You do that 9 times out of 10, you're probably going to get kicked out of the property and they're not going to take you seriously. You see, the minute you get a counter, the seller just gives you the information. Did you hear that? They give you the information because they're so in shock with the number you gave them. You subconsciously triggered their mind to give you their lowest offer that they can walk away with. And here's how it usually goes. You ready for this? Rick, I could, so 250. I go, listen, would you consider $150? They go, 150 for what? I mean, just $150 offer on the house. Are you crazy, Rick? That's ridiculous. And I fully expect them to say no. Listen, they say yes, I'm dancing on the ceiling. And it's happened a few times. And I'm always worried like they sold me a pig. But I expect them to reject me. So I'm not hurt by it. And my only job is to make sure I don't get kicked out of the property or get hung up on the phone. Do you understand that? That's it. What happens? I don't know, Rick. That's crazy. If that's an offer, just forget about it. I talked to my wife. We can never take anything below $210,000. Do you see what just happened? They gave me the information I was asking them for. I just had to find a way to have them pull it out. And guess what? I can do this all in a short amount of period of time. What used to take me hours and days, if not weeks, to pull this out. You see, when you get a counter on any wholesale deal or really any real estate transaction, the reality is this is when the negotiations begin when you get a counter. That's when the clock starts. That's when you got the shot clock going. Can we get this deal over the finish line? But if you guys attack this with your MAO, your maximal allowable offer is close. Number one, you got nowhere to go. And number two, you're going to drag this on weeks, if not months. My method, if you have little to no experience, your only goal is not to get kicked out of the house or get hung up on the phone. Now, if you go over to freewholesaling.com, which is, of course, me and my son teach all aspects of wholesaling from start to finish, not only do your first deal to your first 100 grand, I teach you in detail how to use this method. So we don't have to figure that all in this video, but I'm just telling you the go for no approach. The idea is to give them an offer that borderline, it does insult them a little bit, but they give a counter response. Have you ever gotten in an argument with someone and they blamed you for something, or they go out and they go, Rick, I know you were out till 2 o'clock in the morning. That's my mom used to say to me. I'm like, no, I wasn't. I was in bed. I was in bed by 1 o'clock. Yeah, but your curfew is 11. I go, dang it. She tricked me. So I kind of give my mom credit for like this tactic. It was just buried deep inside of me. And I'm here to tell you it works. Negotiations begin with a counter. So if you know that, then why drag on this like crazy process? The reality is most of you don't have the experience to have an intense negotiation, and you don't know how to deal with the rebuttals and the objections. And that's okay. I'll teach you all on how to do that at freewholesaling.com. The reality is, though, if you use this method, if you have a truly motivated seller, it will work. And guess what it doesn't work on, guys? You ready for this? You know what it doesn't work on? It doesn't work on people that just want to sell their house. They get insulted and they never talk to you again. And honestly, I did you a huge favor by using the go for no method. I just saved you hours, if not weeks, months of grueling negotiations. I once had a seller drag me out so long. This is in year two. I finally pinned her in a corner and she's like, Rick, that's it. I'm not selling to you. I'm just using you for the offer. I go, was that so painful? Like, just get to the truth. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm a big fan of you. So I want you to sell your house. But if you just told me that up front, I would have just given you an offer and moved on with my life. And this is what it's going to snuff out. The reality is a lot of you are messing around with people that aren't even motivated. And you want to know, go for no, it works really well on non-motivated sellers because they just get rid of you as fast as possible. Because you're so far away from the number they need, they don't even think it's worth time spending with you. And they're doing you a huge favor. So going for no not only gets you the best deal from a motivated seller, from a non-motivated seller, especially the realtor involved, you get kicked out of the door so fast, they'll do you a huge favor. They're telling you you're going to have to wait 6 months to a year for me to even consider an offer like that. So let's tell each other the truth here, because this is what we do on this channel. So why are you going for a yes when you go in for your first wholesale deal? Be honest with yourself, because a lot of you are using your old goggles that didn't work in your previous job, your previous schooling, and you've come here and say, listen, I get it. The matrix is screwed up. They've really got me thinking like an employee, and like employees think differently. And I got no problem with employees. God knows I was one long enough. But the reality is you are catered to get a yes. You ask somebody out, you want a yes. You don't want to be rejected. Actually, you should do it the opposite way, because you'll find a better person and a better fit for you if you take the time and vet people and find out, does their needs match yours? Now, when we talk about a motivated seller, why are you going for a yes? Here's the truth. I'm going to hit it with you. It's fear. You guys are scared, and I get it. And this was my deep down gut feeling. It's a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's a feeling. Why am I fearful? What am I fearful of? It's rejection. Like, let's get to the root of the cause. Most of you are going for that yes on the first shot, number one, because that's how you were trained. And if you were trained that way, it's wrong. And number two, you hate rejection. And you're going to have to get over that. Like, I am here to teach you to get over rejection. Rejection is much more prominent in wholesaling than acceptance. And if you can't make that distinction, you're going to struggle terribly in wholesaling. You see, realtors always go for the yes, and they don't stop till they get the yes. And they teach you if you could break through that, you'll get it. But the reality is most realtors get a lot of no's. The ones that can handle more no's than yes usually succeed. There's no difference in wholesaling. It's just even more prominent than ever. Now, so if we know the truth, and that's what we're ultimately avoiding, because it's buried deep in your subconscious that you don't like rejection. I didn't like it, guys. I am like a converted wholesaler. I just had to go through the proven path of 20 years of this to really make a synopsis for you, to teach you lessons so you don't have to take 20 years to learn what I did. Here's the truth of the matter. If you want to do the easy way now, I'm going to guarantee you failure later. Let me give you an example. If you decide to chase on-market properties with realtors, why? Number one, you probably bought a course for it. Fine. God knows there's a million of them out there. The reality is these types of methods, they seem really simple and easy, and it's like a no-brainer. That's why you bought the course. Number two, you have the sellers, all their information. You have their phone number. You have what their ask price is. You have all the pictures. The property's vacant. It sounds so perfect on paper. Why didn't I think of this myself? This is brilliant. Why am I chasing around with other wholesalers on off-market property going through all that charade when I can just go through a realtor and get exactly what I want? The reality is it sounds perfect up front. You buy the course, and usually in 3 to 6 months, you're going to find out why it has a massive failure rate. Because you thought you could skip the hard work. And the truth of it sounds easy now. At the end, you're going to pay a big fat fee to someone that you'll probably never see again. And they told you about this massive success they have on MLS. They just send multiple offers, and it's just a numbers game. You send enough out, you'll make it work. And the reality is these properties are almost impossible to sell because they already got a retail listing on the MLS. They're all over Zillow. Like, honestly, the amount of people successful in this have an incredible experience level. They have a lot of funds. This is not a beginner category. And if you fall into this category, anything that seems easy, let's go over it. You want to do novations. You don't have to compete with wholesalers. It's a piece of cake. And you can sell the properties for retail. So you only got to get a slight discount. It's so easy. It sells a lot of courses. There's very little stuff that sticks in it. It's, in my opinion, a very advanced strategy. And I don't even like using it because there's so many pitfalls with it. Partnering up with a motivated seller is a recipe for a disaster. I can give you countless court cases on it. It's actually in the process of basically being stripped away from title companies used in the state of Florida. And there's so many other states following it because most sellers don't even know that you're doing a novation till the end. And that's how it winds up in a lawsuit. But I can go further. I can teach you how to sell your wholesale deals for retail. And that way you can buy them at higher prices and pay more for them. Do you really think that's going to work as a long-term strategy? Every now and then you can squeak out a property, but the truth of the matter is, if it's easy now, you're most likely going to lose your money in your investment in your education and finding out that strategy doesn't even work, which sucks even worse than the money. And then you got to go back and you got to find people like me and Zach to go back and tell you the truth and go, hey, guess what, Buttercup? You're going to have to suck it up. And guess what? You're going to have to do the hard work now. Here's the difference. Do the hard way now, meaning the go for no method. And it seems difficult up front. After a while, it's like a piece of cake, but you're just not used to it. And I'm okay with that because it took me years to adapt this philosophy. But when I get those hard conversations out of the way, when I attack with this quick but effective negotiating style, I get a faster result. I reduce the stress of the transaction. I don't burn out. I don't play realtor doing comps for hours on end. And I only work with people that are truly motivated that need to sell their house. And guess what? I get successful deals. Now, not every deal works out. But if I know if I do this method, it's a much faster line to having a profitable wholesaling business. And you know what? That method doesn't sell very sexy on a webinar or anything like that. But here's the thing I got backing me up that most, I got 21 years experience of here telling you the truth. And anybody that really does this business for real will tell you the exact same thing. You have to learn how to have the hard conversations up front. And guys, you just don't do this lightly. Go over to freewholesaling.com. We teach you methodically how to do this, but it is highly effective. And if you get kicked out because you make a low offer, I almost guarantee you 90% of the time, you are dealing with someone that just wants to sell their house and they just did you a huge favor. Guys, listen, at the end of the day, it's your choice. Easy now, painful later, and then you're going to have to rediscover yourself, which a lot of people are doing in wholesaling right now. And if you guys didn't notice like the social media trend, all the people that were telling you how to just kick butt in wholesaling over the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, most of them are dwindling away. Why is that? Listen, anybody can show you how to do this business when the rocket ship shooting to the moon. The real winners are the ones that stick with the business 20 years plus. The ones that grind it out and we avoid listen, if I have a method that works, I'm happy to share with you. But if it's borderline illegal and it's frowned upon by all title companies, insurance companies, lawyers, I'm not going to give you that method because you're going to be in financial jeopardy with legal issues, financial issues, and you shouldn't have to do that. So it's your choice. The reality is the easy way sells courses. That's the only reason you guys are presented with them. And to be honest with you, I've tried them all and I see all the pitfalls that go with them. If you guys knew what went into a novation, the legal paperwork you have to sign, you have a fiduciary responsibility to the seller. So how can you be the buyer if you're trying to buy it as cheap as possible? And then you got to record an open lien for like $100,000. Good luck with that with a judge. I'm just here to tell you, you have to look at the stuff. Guys, I used to buy all the shiny object syndrome stuff. If I bought 10 and maybe one worked out, I was happy. But the reality of the one even lasting a few years was far and few between. You guys just went through about a 5 to 7 year cycle of every guru in America selling you everything. And there's very little backing it up other than going around the country and selling the crap out of it. Listen, I'm all about people teaching you real estate. But honestly, the tried and true methods are the ones that are going to survive in the long run. And everybody else, there used to be a certain person that sold that had the most biggest, largest following. And now they don't even exist on the internet anymore. How is that? How the hell does that happen? Because you just follow the latest, greatest fad. They drive beautiful sports car. And guys, a sports car is not a sign of wealth. It's just a sign. In my opinion, listen, if people want it and it makes them happy, I'm all for it. But if you're young and you're investing in a sports car, you don't understand how money works and you don't understand the compounding effect of it. That is not a way to prove people. Listen, the reality is the hard way, if you can muster it up and you can handle it, I'm going to be like that uncle and that father. It just tells you the truth. This is what you have to do to really forge to be a real wholesaler. And if you keep trying all these nicky-knack methods where you buy them at a slight discount and you think you're going to get someone to overpay for it, it's crazy. I want you to listen to this. Anybody who tries to tell you, I have a shortcut to wholesaling, tune them out. That's the same person that tells you, I'm going to show you how to get 6-minute abs. You know what's going to happen next week? Then you're going to get 5-minute abs and you're going to get 4-minute abs. Guys, you know, everybody knows in the fitness and health business, there is no shortcut. So if you know there's no shortcut for that business, why do you think wholesaling is going to be any different? And I want you to truly understand that. Like, I passionately believe in this method. Guys, going for no is real simple. I'm just going to recap it for you, and then we're going to jump in and talk to each other. Going for no is very simple. It's very, very simple. It means simply, ready for this? Stop going for the yes. Okay, lose your MAO. You are going to replace it with an LAO. And here's the most popular, everybody asks me on this. Rick, how do I calculate the LAO? I'm not going to give you a math problem for it. Okay, now I'll give you a handicap for it. So if the ARV was 250, that's a true number, and you were going to offer 235, take 50 grand off of it on top of it. Whatever your number thinking, take a ridiculous number and take it off of it. Why? It is nothing more than a counter. And what happens? You want to simply get the counter and think about this. This is when negotiations start. Okay? A counter, if you can get it subconsciously, which means they don't even know they gave it to you. They just kind of like spit it out. It's a reaction. You ever been in an argument with someone and like they incite you and you just start like, you know, I just can't stand you anymore. And you go, oh, I didn't know that. Well, thanks for giving me that information. You're doing the exact same thing. You're just doing it in a nicer way. And when you guys get all like freaked out, when they like kick you to the curb, ask yourself, did I truly have a motivated seller that needed to sell their house? And because you know what, you got, so why are you guys going for the yes? Because you fear the rejection. Do the hard work now, guys. And I will show you how to truly become a successful wholesaler. The reality is it's a lot of work what we do, and you have to be really good at a lot of things. But I'm telling you, when you do all that hard marketing and you guys create these ninja lists and just incredible, you offer the government list, the driving for dollars, the reverse driving for dollars, and you get them and they go, man, listen, I, hey, Rick, I really need to sell this house. They're saying everything you need to go. Your civic duty at this point is to go for the no. And here's what I'm thinking. You're like, well, I don't have a lot of experience to do it, Rick. That's like scary. I don't know what to do with it. I'm here to tell you the less experience you have, the better the result you're going to have, because you don't have like this pre-concept of negotiation. I always assume negotiations were long and dragged out. I've had 2-hour negotiations on a wholesale deal because I didn't know how to get to the point and get to the end of it. If you use the go for no method, it's going to expedite that process. And if they're truly motivated, you'll find a number that works for both of you. But the minute you get the counter, you are truly on your path to getting a wholesale deal. And you got to understand that. So let's jump in the comments. First of all, if you guys want to learn more on how to do all this stuff, I put a simple little course together. It's 100% free. Don't freak out when you hear course. Just go over to, freewholesaling.com. Right there. It's on the bottom there for you. And I go into depth on how to teach this, but we teach you about everything, how to get started in wholesaling, how to do it, how to get your first deal, and not only how to get your first deal, how to get you to your first 100K. So make sure you go over to freewholesaling.com and you check that out. And guys, listen, make sure somebody smashes that like button if you enjoyed the content. I'd love to provide you with more. And then make sure you comp your questions. And for God's sakes, make sure you subscribe to this channel. So without further ado, this is the section of the show where we basically answer questions. God knows there's a ton of them on here. So Jack says, learning from Rick the GOAT, but I'm breaking out of my analysis paralysis. The go for no forces you to take action when you have a motivated seller with you. And worst case scenario, say you don't have a motivated seller, it's going to get you a quick result. Guys, honestly, when people say no to you, it is actually a wonderful thing. And we are programmed in society when people reject you, it's bad. It is a filtering device. It is a device that moves you closer to a path. Either you get a yes and you get a contract and you make a bunch of money, or you get a no and you get a negotiation, or worst case scenario, you get a lesson. And that lesson allows you to grow as a human being and makes you a better person, a better father, a better mother, a better sibling, a better child. It makes you a better wholesaler for sure. And why do we all try to avoid no? It's just ingrained in our head and we got to stop it. So that's it. I'm reading some of your comments. Let's see here. Okay, hold on. Boy, you guys love it. I mean, great interaction on here. I appreciate the comment there. Like, I am really passionate about wholesaling. And the one thing that differentiates me from a lot of people is, number one, I'm still an active wholesaler. I haven't retired. I don't flip. I do very expensive properties and I do commercial properties. But to be honest with you, they're very advanced strategies. Every now and then I share some of the details on it. But I try to focus on what you guys connected with me for. And it's wholesaling. So I can take the values of some of the deals I do now. So we do a regular wholesaling operation locally and virtually. And then I do a lot of commercial. But it's like I'm still a student learning how to do it. I look at the opportunities. I look at the politics that goes in getting deals approved. And I love it. But I always focus on what you guys want me to do. Because the day I decide to teach you crypto, or I'm going to teach you how to do NFTs and all this other stuff, I'm just like all the other guys. And honestly, I'm only going to teach you what I'm best at. So I'm really good at fishing too, but I'm like most of you don't want to hear about it. And honestly, I do real estate. It helps fuel like my passion. I love the fish. I just love being outdoors and I love the energy of it. So you've got to understand why you do it here. Okay, let's see here. So let's jump in. If you have a question, just go ahead and post it. Here's a good one. Michael says, what happens when I go for a no, I assume NO, and they hang up and don't answer my calls again, or if they won't text me back or respond? Well, number one of the cardinal rules of going for no is you have to build rapport, meaning you have to have a great conversation with people and you have to connect with them. Without the great conversation, you're going to struggle. Now, number two, I told you the flip side, maybe you're not dealing with the right person. You can call them back and you can always write, by the way, if you make a low offer, let me ask you, is it easier to come up or go down? Let me know in the comments what you think. I already know the answer to that. You guys know what the answer is. You can always go up on your offer. And you can always, you can use the good cop, bad cop, which Zach used me for years on that and got away with it. And I'm always the bad cop for some reason. You can use the volley method. You can use the scrunchy face. All at freewholesaling.com. I teach you how to do it. But honestly, Michael, maybe they did you a favor. Maybe they wanted such a ridiculous retail price and your number shocked them. They're just done with you. They think, well, we're $100,000 apart. We're not even going to get close. Now, either they sell it for what they want or two things will change their mind. Two, time and circumstance. And honestly, you have to detach yourself from the offer because obviously, either unless you miss the rapport building part, it is what it is. Just move on. Go find another motivated seller. You're going to get rejected more than you get accepted in this business. And the sooner you grasp that conversation, that concept, the better off you are. So, okay, let's jump on and do some lives here. And let's go, man. Curtis, you there?
Yeah. Hey, Rick. Can you hear me?
Yeah, man. Can you hear me?
Oh, I'm sorry. My allergies are messing with me right now. So
that's all right. What's going on, man? What can I help you out with?
All right. So I'm having kind of some problems. So I want to say about a couple, 2 weeks back, I got my first or my second property under contract this year, but both of them, they just, you know, didn't work out. Okay. But this time, basically, so I had called this lady about this one property in this other town, and she was like, I gave her an offer on that one. And then she was basically like, what? I just shot her the offer. She said, you know, I'll think about it. And then, she told me that she had another property in another town. I was like, oh, okay. It was a duplex. She only wanted $10,000 for it. And I was like, okay, let me check it out. Long story short, I finally get in a property. I take pictures and everything. You know, property wasn't really bad, but everyone in that area didn't really want it. At the time, I didn't know why. You know, I talked to like a bazillion cash buyers. Everyone was telling me, you know, just ghosting me or, you know, this and that.
Yeah.
But I finally asked one person and I'm like, can you give me a reason why, you know, you don't like it or, you know, why you don't want it? And they were like, well, we couldn't find any comps in the area and blah, blah, blah. I comped it at 85. Turns out it was like 40 something. I felt like an idiot. I'm not even going to lie.
Okay.
So my problem is I'm kind of trying to learn from my mistakes as best as I can. Mm-hmm. And what I'm starting to do now is before I even call the seller, I'll just, you know, do the comps beforehand and then just, you know, go on like that. But my problem is I'm just, it's not that I'm like a long comper. It's just that it takes forever, you know, go through a list, comp it first, and then, you know, try to, you know, skip trace the seller, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm just wondering, you know, am I doing it right or do
so,
I just
so let's back up. Let's try to learn from this. So on the property, so the property you just specifically spoke about, where did you get the lead from?
The seller. Oh, I got the lead from it was a vacant property list. Yeah.
So yep. did you call them?
Yeah.
And then basically, what price, what was the number that she accepted an offer from you for?
I didn't really make an offer, I'll be honest. I just went with the $10,000. That was for her second property. And then, you know, I just looked at it. And I'm like, you know, it's a duplex. I'm like, you know, she only wants $10,000 for it. You know what I mean? I'm like, well, you know, what's the problem? You know what I mean? Yeah. I didn't really, you know. So I just, you know, went with it. I'll be honest. You know what I mean? I
didn't really give her an offer. So $10,000 is what you made the offer for?
Yeah. And then, well, she was offering $10,000. That's what she wanted. I said, okay, you know, fine. You know, send her the contract and everything.
Yeah.
Long story short, in my mind, I'm like, you know, okay, you know, I'll give it to a cash buyer for about 25. Turns out the comps were only like 40, you know, and I comped it at 85. But at the time, I didn't have PropStream, so I couldn't really get an accurate, you know, comping tool, you know, and really see, you know, what had really sold. So I used Zillow and Redfin, and I guess my comps were just, you know, completely off, you know, from everybody else's. And I didn't really realize that until I got PropStream back again, and I looked.
Okay, so, Curtis, I'm trying to identify the problem. If she verbally agreed to 10K and you thought it was worth 85, but the news comes out it's worth 45, what is the problem?
I don't know. It's like,
dude, that's not a terror. Like, this is the whole thing I teach on the go for no. Because this is what happens probably 70, 80% of the time. What you guys think it's worth and what it's actually worth are two different stories. You have a choice. How long, like how many people are on this list that you do the vacants with? Like how many leads? A couple hundred? 500?
It's like a couple hundred. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Dude, do you know how much time you'd have to spend comping that many properties? And your ability to be accurate in it, it's going to be wildly off. Because you don't have time for it. Like, that's what realtors do. And that's the point of why I'm doing today's live stream is, who came up with the 10 grand? Did she come up with it or you did?
She did.
It's an amazing, like, now, there's probably something wrong with the property, 10 grand, but what state are we talking about here?
This is in Iowa.
Iowa. So, once again, the only thing you missed up on is you have to find the cash. Are you doing this virtually or locally?
It's kind of both. So the town is only like 2 hours away from me, but it's like I made the drive, you know, a couple of times, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, I can go there if I really wanted to, which I already did, but you know.
So the best thing you can do is get talk to your cash buyers and see what they pay for a duplex in that zip code, that city. Mm-hmm. Listen, all cities have a story. All towns have a story. We all got good neighborhoods, bad neighborhoods, and neighborhoods nobody would ever buy in. Mm-hmm. So once you like circumvent that initial information, especially if you know of the town and you have proximity to it, I mean, you live there or you had family there or you live there at one time, you kind of have an upper hand. So the idea is you're never going to get comps perfect. A realtor has to try to get the comp perfect to make them look good. You and me are never going to be like, I am always off on my comps, guys. A comp is determined when somebody buys it and it becomes dated information. And we have to guess. So the reality is, stop spending time comping. If you have a list of 500, you like the reality, if you have 500 people, how many people do you think on average would truly have an inkling of having the right conversation with you as a motivated seller? If you had to guess out of 500. Like even remotely having a shot to talk with you, you know, when the initial dust settles, you know what these calls look like. How many you think would be like, make a kind of a final cut, like they're worth a 20, 30 minute conversation with?
Honestly, probably like 5 to 3 of them, to be dead honest. Like,
so the reality is probably 25 to 50. And then you're going to narrow it down to that final number you got. Okay. Right. Cause if there's an inkling, okay, we're going to talk and then we're going to narrow it down to the ones we want to talk to. And that's what we do. So, right. Your approach is right. The problem is you didn't really have the cash buyers established, because if it's a shock to you that 10 grand doesn't work, did it need a ton of rehab?
Not really. And that's what's bothering me.
I don't know what you're struggling. So let me, if it's a duplex, how much did each side rent for roughly?
I want to say, so the one on the bottom, probably like, it was like 700. One on top, probably like 500.
You might've called me. I might've bought it. I mean, dude, so you understand, even if you can't get comps in the area, you can do cash flow and just calculate an ROI. It's really simple. You know how to do that?
Yeah.
So you just take all the income and minus off the expenses, and then you show an investor, listen, if you buy this, this is what you're going to get for a return. Most investors will like fall over your feet if the number's accurate, because according to your number you gave me right there, like it would be a big number.
Right.
Like, and you got to understand, they could possibly be paid back on their investment in less than 2 years. You know how like rare that is?
Yeah.
So when you don't have comps and you can do a cash flow property like that, I can actually make it more attractive. I don't even care what the comps are. This is what it produces. On a regular single family house, there's always a comp and then there's always a cash flow. With a duplex, most people, if I buy, I'm buying it based on cash flow. Now, I know if I buy in a rougher neighborhood that I'm not going to get the appreciation, but I'm going to get higher cash flow. And some people like that. Some people hate it. But all I would tell you to do is do more, spend more time vetting your cash buyers and having them lined up ready to go. I can't imagine a cash buyer in the area you're talking about in that state that says $10,000 for basically a 20 to 25% plus return, they would churn down. Like, honestly, if I was in Iowa, I would buy that sight unseen from you. Like, I wouldn't even ask a question. I go, am I going to get shot going there? That's my only question going to be to you.
And you know, and that was my problem. Cause like, you know, like I said, you know, I got access into the property from the city. They said, cause it was boarded up and they're like, yeah, you can basically go in there. I was like, all I need to do is take pictures and I'll be out. You know, I got in there, took pictures. It, like I said, you know, it really wasn't that bad. I got it locked up for 10. I was asking for 25. I noticed like a couple of cash buyers. They were saying no or ghosting me. So I was like, okay, let me drop it down to at least, you know, 15 and see what happens. Even then I was still getting ghosted. And I was like, what's going, you know, I'm like, what's going on? Like, what's really wrong with the property? You know what I mean? But it was like, I don't know. I never really got my answer, I feel like, but.
I know, dude, I would go on a cash buyer's tear and figure out like, so when you call a cash buyer before you present on a property, you usually get the truth. What's the cheapest you guys ever buy properties, like multifamily? Like, we never paid less than 50 for a multifamily. Listen, cash buyers are smart, dude. I'm a businessman when it comes to, I want the property as cheap as possible, but I know if everything's trading for 40 or 50 and you offer it to me for 15, I'm going to lock you up so fast. You won't even know what hit you. And I'll let you figure out after the fact. You're usually going to try to get out of the contract with me because you didn't realize you sold it so cheap. And that's what I did in the beginning when I sold properties. I just gave them away because I didn't know what I was doing. So the only thing to counteract this is just to vet your cash buyers list and get more detailed information and find out if they're actually telling you the truth or if you're being worked. But honestly, when you have a multifamily property that has a 20%+ return, unless it's in the complete hood, you get almost anybody in the country to buy that thing. So unless it's in the middle of nowhere and there's no access roads, there's nothing around it because it's an extremely rural area, that would be the only downside. But I don't know many things that I can buy for 10 or 15 grand and get that kind of return. On average, you're competing with a stock market between 8 and 12% for a very seasoned, smart investor. You just double the return on an asset that should be appreciating. To me, it's like a no-brainer. So when you don't have the comps, especially on a multifamily, guys, you have to present the cash flow because that gets investors really excited. Everybody understands what an ROI is, return on investment. And if you understand that, like, it's even easier for an investor to buy, especially on a multifamily. On a pure single family home, it's always going to rely on the comps. But like when you guys don't have a comp, do this. Calculate the cash flow, total revenue minus the expenses, and be honest with yourself, and then come up with a number. And that's how you sell your properties every time. And then here's what I ask your cash buyers. I go, how many properties do you guys buy with like a 25% cash on cash return, any of that stuff, ROI? They're like, no, we never find them. And you'll get the truth and you might find out you just got worked. Honestly, that's type of like people from California will flock for deals like that. Now, I don't like owning investments too far away without having direct management with them. But, and that's another thing is you can find property managers for them. Go, listen, they'll manage this property, cost about 10%. You got more than enough money to manage it for you. Here's John over at Ace Property Management. He'll help you out with it. And do it like that. And just keep using the go for no method. The fact she spit 10 grand out to you right off the bat, maybe you could have got it cheaper. I don't know. So
I think I could have.
Such a low number. I would lock it up too. I'm not greedy.
Like, right. You know, I'm like, this is a no brainer. I'm like, of course, you know, I'll take it, you know, 10 grand duplex, you know, and it didn't really need a lot of work. I'm like, yeah, I'll take it. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I guess all the cash buyers in the area, you know.
Listen, you're really just it, but, missing you know. Some basic intel. And you got shook up on the numbers on it. But I'm just telling you, like, you need to go relook and use that one as a learning tool because I think you were dead right on your numbers. Like, there's very few parts in the country where you can buy a duplex for 10 grand. Like, and I'm talking about some rough areas. I have a neighborhood I started with here. I used to buy them for like 15 to 30 grand was really cheap. 2010, they were giving them away. Those today, I can't touch them for $350,000. Same hood, same problem. And like, so I know people that own them in like Mississippi and stuff like that. And like Rick, you ain't touch anything below like 80 grand in these neighborhoods. So I just 10 grand, dude, like that's a no brainer. And honestly, how long ago was that?
This was probably about, I canceled the deal last week, but she did message me and say, she asked, you know, do you want to partner with me on it? And I'm like,
partner? Really, how are you going to partner with her?
Right. I'm like, you know, look, I'd have to like talk to you privately about it because there's a lot of other stuff into it, but it was a whole crazy situation.
Offer her $5,000. See if she responds.
She'll probably
sell me a duplex that doesn't need repair. I'll pay you 10 grand tomorrow. Like to me, like that's a wish list. It's like,
right.
Anybody in the comments on this, like you got to understand it's very hard to find stuff like this. Unless it's one duplex in the middle of a field and there's no society like 250 miles around it. That's the only way it's not selling.
Right. And it's like, Rick, I swear these people are crazy or I'm crazy or something with this property that everybody knows, you know, what's going on.
Maybe the seller's hiding something from you and you're missing it. But the thing is, this shouldn't even be an issue with your cash buyers because you're only doing a shot over the bow when you initially do it. So unless they go, oh, yeah. Now, I've had this happen to me. They go, yeah, I know that property, Rick. I don't care what you're offering for and I ain't buying it. And I've had that happen to me before. I'm like, well, tell me more. And then they'll unload on you. Like, yeah, she's a scam artist. She's got like $180,000 in lien. She probably told you to sell it to you for 50 grand. But I always rely on my cash buyers for intel because if there's a problem, they'll tell you right away. So unless you're missing something, have you run the title on the property? Did you do anything with the title company?
So no, but when I called the city, guy behind the desk, he's like, hey, he was like, by the way, he's like, there's a $1,000 something lien on it because the property was abandoned. It was being rented out in like 2016. If you go on Zillow, you can see that, you know, when it was in its prime, like it was it's a nice duplex, you know what I mean? But I guess like down the line, it just became abandoned and then there were some squatters in there. So the city came, boarded it up, and then that was it of it. But, you know, she basically just said, you know, forget it. And she just left it there, you know, and the city came, boarded it up and charged her for it. And that's basically it. That's the only thing that, you know, I know, you know.
Okay. Listen, I would go revisit it. I just, unless you're absolutely missing something, which the title company should catch it, go talk to your cash buyers. Go, listen, if I got a property in this general area that's a multifamily that's ready to go, that on average rents for $650, $700 a door, what do you think that's a fair number that you could buy it from me for if I could make this like available in the next week or two? And just get the raw number. After a while, you will get a consensus. Every now and then, there are some strange places, but the fact that you know like this area and you're somewhat familiar, not just diving into it on like a cold virtual market, I think you were right. I think you're just self-guessing yourself, and I think you had the wrong cash buyer or two. So I would revisit it. Go through and rip through the cash buyers and then reach out to that seller and see what's going on. There's got to be something majorly wrong with the property if it's not selling for those numbers. It doesn't even make sense.
Right. That's what I'm
thinking. And number two is if she's sitting on the property, why wouldn't she just rent it out now and make cash flow so she's at least whole on the property while she's waiting to sell it?
Like I said, Rick.
No, you got to ask that question because
right, you're right.
Like, because if she owns it free and clear, if someone even offered her $300 or $500 a month, nobody churns down money, right? Very rarely.
So
get some more facts on it. You were on the right numbers. You actually had a go for no built into it, and I would just expand on it. Okay.
All right. Last thing. I just want to say I watch you and Zach religiously every day. I only work like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So Monday through Thursday, I'm constantly going through these lists, grinding, just trying to get my first deal. You know, and I'm going kind of stir crazy, but you know.
I know, you'll get it. It sounds like you had one. You got to find out what you're missing there. If that property can be rented, there's money to be made. You have extremely motivated seller. You got to find out why they're so motivated. Like, oh, am I missing something? And the only way you find that out is when you have it under contract, then you can pick it apart. But you can't pick people apart before you have them under contract. It doesn't work that way. So
right.
Talk to your cash buyers and vet them. And just listen, every deal you do or don't do, you're going to learn from. You're either going to profit or you're going to learn. I got my butt handed to me so bad the first 6 months in this business. Most of you all would have quit if you had to see what I went through. But I just said, listen, I really want to do this. I enjoy it. I love talking to people. Like I am only working with people I want to work with. Yes, I hate the rejection, the BS you got to put up with. But if you can endure it, you can write your own ticket. Most people aren't willing to endure it. And it's just the truth. Everybody loves the story, but the grind takes a special person to do what we do. You are no different than what I've gone through. And if you want to keep going through it, just keep on the journey. You are on the right path. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Rick. I appreciate it. Cause that's exactly where I am right now, man. I'm not even gonna lie. Exactly where I am right now.
Okay. Thanks. You got it, Curtis. You got to keep going and find him. Just try to rehash that deal. If not, just that same list was working for you. Just try it, move on. Don't sit there and try to comp 500 properties because you're just a glorified realtor. If you do that, it's you're comping 500 properties to talk to what, 3 to 5 people that are really, and then you can spend time. You can spend 10 minutes on those 3 to 5 deals. Because in the end, you guys have to agree on a price and you're not going to get down to a final comp till you get in the final negotiations. And I want you to buy them so cheap that you go, crap, I buy it for that. I don't even have to comp it.
Right.
So here's the reality, guys. If you have to break out a calculator to do a comp, you're paying too much for the property. That's how wholesaling works, period. End of story. So Curtis, I'll talk to you. Let me help some other people out here. I'll see you, bye. So you guys hear some noise. I got some construction going in the background. Don't ask. It's a long project. So I don't understand that question. So Juan keeps asking me. So Juan, let me answer your question here because you seem to be screaming at me in caps. So I'll answer you. And by the way, it doesn't mean you get more attention doing that. What are the best states to find distressed assets to get your most profit? Number one, the state you reside in is probably the easiest because you know the market. Number two, I see your question. Is Zillow a good page to look up distressed assets? Absolutely not. It's probably the worst place you can go. Go over to freewholesaling.com. You're actually going to have to do some work here, Juan. Study the course and look for the section on how to market to motivated sellers. And you're going to find the basic lists that work. Government lists, driving for dollars, reverse driving for dollars. That's where you're going to find them. If you think you're going to go online and find this magical list of distressed assets, and here's my favorite one. Well, what about the bank's distressed assets? Yeah, good luck with that. Unless you've got at least $7 to $10 million laying loose around, the bank's not going to give you the time of day. And then they're going to want slightly below what they did a retail mortgage for. And they're usually a really bad deal. So go over to freewholesaling.com. Government list, it's all in there. Driving for dollars, reverse driving for dollars. Guys, it's not sexy, but it's what actually gets deals. I'm not here to sell you a course, make this business super complicated and make it work that way. Okay, let me take that off here. Who did I miss here? Deb, you there? Deb. Deb.
Yes, I'm here.
How you doing?
I am good. How are you?
Good. You're going to have to speak up a little bit because I got a project going on behind me that I can't
okay,
stop
can you hear
right
me?
Now. Yeah, I can hear you a little faint, but it's go ahead.
Oh, really? Okay. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm shouting. Can you hear me now?
That's perfect. I appreciate it. Okay. It's on my end, not yours.
Okay. I have a question quickly because I want you to get to some other people. I have a gentleman that responded back to me. I've been sending out like postcards.
I love mailers. Your hat, by the way.
Thank you. mailers. You know, been handwriting them, sending them out, and I finally got someone to respond back. But it's a vacant lot, and I don't know how to, do comps for the vacant lot. Now he's
is it local
he
or virtual?
It's local. It's local.
So this is easy. This is really easy. It's the same thing you deal with a single family house. It just doesn't have a house on the property. It's just land. So they are kind of hard to comp because you're not in tune on what that market's going on. You can get a rough idea, but when I say rough, it's going to be rough.
Yeah.
And the best way to find this out is to reach out to people looking to buy vacant land because they have to tell you what they'll pay for it.
Okay.
For you to figure it out. It's going to be too hard to figure out the price. I'm just going to tell you.
Okay. Yeah. He was like, I thought it was just a smaller lot, but he does have the lot behind it. And, you know, he was asking me, was I a wholesaler? Of course, you know, I lied. I said, no. I said, I want to do it for houses, but I didn't know you could do it for land. You know, I was acting dumb.
I'm just a cash buyer. You got to be a regular person.
Yeah.
By the way, when they ask you if you're a wholesaler, they're trying to label you right off the bat to figure out what you're going to do. A cash buyer, they can't peg you in either corner. Cash buyer is like the premium of what everybody wants. Everybody wants a cash buyer, period.
Well, if you know,
$5 million and someone paid cash for it, I would take that any day over a mortgage, right?
Yeah, he said, let's cut out the fluff. He said, because I'm an attorney and I can look things up. And so that's why I was like, you know.
Ooh, I'm scared.
So I didn't know.
By the way, I fool attorneys all the time.
Okay.
It's not fool them. I just know how to play the game.
Okay.
And a lot of times I have to buy properties in like third parties. And like... It just attorneys are funny, but now I'm going to be honest with you. Attorneys are a pain in the ass to get a good deal from because they always have to be right about everything. It just drives me nuts. I'm just giving you the numbers. So you're well in advance because I don't like to spend energy on people that like, there's a good take. So I love anything with the outdoors and boating. Here's an example. I'm going to give you an example of what an attorney is to me. So say I wanted to sell a boat. Pain in the ass, right? You sell a boat, you put it on a site. You ever see a guy or gal put something up for sale? The guy puts a boat up for sale. I saw this the other day. He's like, don't make a lowball offer. Don't ask me stupid questions. Don't ask me about the motors. Don't ask me
about
the
condition. I've seen that too.
Just pay my price. And if you ask one question, the guy gets 400 pages of threads of questions. Just people just want to annoy him now. Are there any engines on it? Will you take $1,000? And it's like, you're like the Karen of sellers. Just make sure the attorney's not the Karen of like vacant lot sellers because they get so difficult. Like life's too short to try to like get an attorney to agree to your terms. Like, and that's my challenge with it. Just what I would do is do the research. I usually bring in realtors at this point. This is where they're like an asset. And just say, listen, if I could find something in this zip code in a developed area or non-developed area for like an X amount of size lot with a lot behind it, what do you have any buyers that would buy it? What do you think the target number would be? And just try to get a consensus. And then all you go back to the attorney is, so if they said, listen, they'll pay you 50 for it. I just go back to the attorney and go, listen, would you take 30 for it?
Okay, 25. I just said no. I did your volley method. I didn't know, and so I got him down to, you know, 20,000 for both lots. It's like 15 minutes from the university, and I just said no. I was like, okay, so now I need to find a cash buyer. You know,
you got to find a cash buyer. That's it. Vacant land lots, they always come down to the cash buyer because you can get like roughly close to a number, and like honestly, the cash buyer is going to dictate it. And depending on which way the wind's blowing that day or like what's going on in the current market condition, I don't lose sleep over it. Like you just try to get the seller to their bottom line number and then you go from there. Most likely, if you're going to work with an attorney, you'll probably have to do a double closing because they're so anal about the paperwork.
I already said that. I already knew that.
So
it's like, do I send them the same contract?
So an attorney, you got to like, they like a lot of paperwork with crap. So try to find your state approved contract. If not, ask a local realtor and they'll have one specifically for land. And that usually it's kind of like giving the tiger a piece of meat, let them chew on that for a while and they'll usually let it go. I prefer to send a 1 or 2 page contract, but an attorney goes, well, what if, and what if this doesn't work? And what if that doesn't work? It's like, listen, when I have to deal with a realtor. I hire a realtor to deal with the realtor because I can't put up with the crap. whenever I have to deal with an attorney, you don't need to get an attorney for this one. But if there's an attorney involved in the transaction, I go get an attorney. That's just how the game's played. So just don't waste your time with them. And just ask him, what type of contract do you want me to submit this in? Because he's going to tell you everything wrong with your contract. I'm just going to save you the aggravation right now. He's going to do, what did Mickey Mouse come up with this contract? A page and a half. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? And you start going like, okay, we'll make it. So in the state of Florida, we have a contract as long as 26 pages. It does the exact same thing.
I was going to ask, how do I fill that out? I just seen this simple contract, for wholesaling.
Try it, but remember, make sure you got a cash buyer on there, and just understand that attorney is going to try to do everything to put you on the hook for the contract. That's their job.
Okay.
So I don't like attorney. There's several other professions, but I'm not going to go into it because some people think I'm biased. I'll let you figure it. Like, there's some things everybody has to learn on their own. And I don't like to paint a picture, but like attorneys, you guys get your special, special designation because you all earn it. And 50% of the time, I can show you an attorney that's wrong. So attorneys can be wrong as long as they're getting paid. They don't care. You guys understand that they'll take your little BS lawsuits all day long, long as they're getting paid. I've sat down with a lot of attorneys I knew that case never had a shot. And a lot of it's like bluffing and posturing. It's ridiculous. So I don't waste a lot of money with attorneys, but I do at the same time. I hate it because it just seems and one of my biggest lawsuits I was ever involved in, we kicked the attorneys out of the room and we settled it in 20 minutes. And it took them 3 years to get to that point.
Oh, wow.
We both go, listen, I can't, I already spent $110,000 in legal fees. I can't spend anymore. Let's just figure this out. You want this? I want that. And we settled it right there. And they were so hurt. Their egos were destroyed. Ugh. 3 years.
That's how it normally is. Okay. So my other thing is, I know I'm on Zach's list, and he, how he sends out, you can get the, I tried to get on with him last night, but I was late getting on.
That's okay.
The 200 free skip tracing, but when I tried it, it actually, you need a $50 credit, a balance. So I didn't understand that part. Because I wanted to try out, I've been doing a true people search. And I did do batch leads, and the numbers still weren't that good on batch leads as well.
Okay. Well, you can try it through PropStream through ListRAI.com.
Okay.
There's a lot of services out there. I mean, the free thing, it works to get you started, but sometimes I go, listen, I ain't got time to look up 400 people.
That's how I feel now. I get off work and things like that, I'm like, getting through the writing a letter, doing the research, because I go through and I research, I listen to you guys, and I try to dig as deep as I can on research. And another thing, I can't even drive for dollars here, especially in the B neighbor, they will call the cops. What are you sticking on people's doors? Where's my little thing at? See, I got my little you probably can't even see it. I got my little note.
I got it. I see it.
Yeah,
cool.
And I just want to stick it up there, and they call the cops on me. I was like, "What do you guys think I'm doing?" I was like, "I'm up there, funny. And I'm away from it so quickly." And I was like, "Okay, that kills the reverse driving for dollars method, because
reverse driving for dollars, all you are is putting a sticker on the door and leaving.
Yeah,
there's no law against that.
What are you doing?
So let me give you, Deb, don't worry about what they think about you. Uh-huh. Because at the end of the day, they're not feeding your family.
Right.
They're not driving you around. They're not going to help you out. And we all make decisions. If you've chose wholesaling as your path to achieve what you want, then your conviction has to be deep enough. You don't care what that neighbor thinks about. You're not hurting. You're not stealing. Listen, the fact that they're watching out to you is not the worst thing in the world. They just want to make sure you're not the only time it becomes problematic is around Christmas time, especially the last 2 weeks of December when all the packages gets dropped off at everyone's door through Amazon. Then it gets a little sketchy. So that's the only time you kind of cut back a little bit.
These are vacant houses, so that's what I'm,
That's how even worse. So if they want to come over and do what they want to do, or...
I understand why they call the cops. Sometimes
if they're truly calling the cops,
unless
the cop station is down the street, I think you're in good
shape. They patrol certain areas, especially the nicer areas. These are in B, almost A to B neighborhoods. Yeah. So they're there.
Listen, and what you're doing is helpful to the community. It's helpful to everybody involved, and it truly helps the neighbors out because you get the house back to where it needs to be to get a respectable neighborhood. So don't you like the
don't let it scare me, huh?
And wholesaling is you have to have deep conviction because what we do, it's way outside the box. You ever go to your party and tell your friends, like, oh, what do you do? Let's be honest. We don't sit there and go, okay, we're wholesalers. Here's what we do. We get rejected all day. We get screamed at, yelled at, and told us our lowball offers suck. But at the end of the day, if I can just find one person that will work with me, I can make your paycheck in one shot. And I provide an incredible service and I help people out and I never make anybody sell me a house. Oh, and I can work when I want. I understand I'm going to put some time in up front. But at the end of the day, I have my choices and this is the choice I made. And that's how I remind everybody. I tell you what, try sticking bandit signs out in the middle of rush hour as a police officer staring at you and everyone's honking a horn, throwing crap at you.
No,
I did that for years.
No, I had the.
And you know what I said? I go,
the city officials called me and said, yeah, we're taking these down. If you put any more up, you will get fined. I said, oh, that's the end of that.
Yeah. Well,
I don't understand. We have an electoral and they have their signs everywhere. So why? What's wrong with our sign?
This is an unconventional way we make a living. And the thing is, the idea is it's hard at first, and I admit it to all of you, I got to tell you, the promise at the end of the rainbow is unbelievable. And I wish I could have sat there and have you guys sit in my first 2 years because, man, I was just like you. I'm sitting there like, the hell am I doing? Like people used to pull me aside and go, if you lost your mind, I go, I tried the corporate thing. It's hell. Like it's to me, I'm getting eaten alive more than that than I am putting out bandit signs and getting rejected in person. So you just got to stick with your conviction. I'll give Zach a holler. I said, keep an eye out for Deb and he'll point you in the right direction for the skip trace. I'm not going to tell you like there's one amazing service that oversteps all of them. Yeah. I mean, Batch and Prop are kind of the preferred. There's so many third party vendors out there right now. But most of them are trying to get you hooked on their services and they offer something for free. I would kind of avoid those at all costs because once you get comfortable and happy with a service, you like to stick with it because it makes your life a lot easier. But you got to make a choice which one you want to work with. So I don't know how all the credits and everything work out. Like I kind of stay out of that part of it. So Zach handles that all.
So. Okay. And so I only have one more thing, I guess, trying to reach out. I think I talked to you last time. I'm trying to reach out to a young lady. She just passed away. It's a driving for dollars thing in that area. I got to call the cops on.
Okay.
But reaching out to the family members because she just passed away last month. One of the neighbors was nice. She said, no one stays there. What are you doing? She passed away, in June. And I was like, I'm just sticking a notice on the door. And so it's like, how do you talk to the sons? She had two sons. I looked it up, guys. I'm telling you, I do the deep research. I found the obituary. Okay.
So like I tell anybody else with probates, listen, it sucks. Okay.
No, I don't know if it's in probate. It's just
it's going to probably eventually. Okay. So the person is deceased. Did they pass away in their own title?
Yes.
So most likely it's going to probably wind up in probate. And by the way, not every property goes through probate. I tell you guys this all the time. So somebody passed away. It's tragic. It's terrible. And I always say this. I get it. The first initial contact, it's awkward. It's weird. And you almost have to have an excuse to try to make a connection because it is a tough way to connect with someone. But if you can find a way to get through that awkward 30 seconds to 60 seconds.
Yeah, that's what I don't know what to say. The first thing, because
it's right away. Here. You see this?
Yeah, yes, the heart.
What do I have my hand over?
Yeah, heart.
Just speak from the heart. Don't bullshit people. Just hey, listen, I can't. Like, so first of all, I usually just talk about the house. I let them lead with what they want to. I do not want to walk them into a sea of abyss if they're very upset and emotional. That's not my job. I want to make it easier and better for them. And then the point where you can get them talking,
yes.
You've done your job. anytime when it comes to death and probate, it's about being a really good listener, because every investor wants to run people over. So it's going to take you some time.
I just don't know what to say when I, you know, call.
So the first thing is, listen, I just noticed the house. It's kind of a neat house. I'm just trying to find out if there's any interest in someone that might want to sell it. Would you be the person I talk to? And that always start with the asset first. Don't ever talk about someone's death of a family, because like, it's probably fresh and you have to be careful. There is, if you've ever, it's an emotional roller coaster. Now, if they want to dump on you with it, just like, oh my God, like, can't even imagine. Like, I understand. And just give them their leadway. And if they start talking and you can encourage the talking, you got a shot. Period. The more they talk, the better off they are. But like, there is no easy way to start the conversation. I'm not here to lie to you. So the easiest thing is focus on what you both agree on, the asset. Hey, I was calling on 123 USA Street. I believe that's your house, correct? And then one question will lead to another one, and then it leads to a conversation. If you get to a conversation, you've done well. If it's yes, no's, it's hard. And a lot of time, if I'm getting yes, no answers, I go, did I call you at a bad time? Is this a good time? Do you want me to call you back? And you just try to be respectful. But once they get talking, you've got a great shot. If it's yes, no answers, you're going to have to do something radical to shift that conversation.
Got it.
Outside of probate, I don't mess. I'm pretty straight. Like, I don't want any, like, I just try to be as authentic as I humanly can. Outside of probate, if I get a weird conversation, it's not going the way I want it, I go, did I piss you off? Is something I said? You seem like really like not happy with me. And sometimes they tell you, go, I don't like you calling me in the middle of the night like this. This really upsets me. I go, I get it. I go, is there a better time I can call you back? She goes, yeah, I like mornings. I'm like, I've done entire deals based on that conversation. Because if the conversation's going real bad, Deb, what do you have to lose outside of probate and death? What do you have to lose to try to shake up that conversation?
Gotcha. Got it. Yes.
I had someone tell me the other day, I go, listen, you're calling me at a horrid time. I got 3 meetings. I'm a busy guy. She goes, can I tell you a joke? I go, you know, it'd be perfect if you did. She did. I laughed and I set an appointment with her. I swear to you. Now, I don't endorse this. It's a very risky move, but you get someone to laugh, they'll listen to you. And sometimes you got to just play with people's emotions. Everybody has a story of what's going on with them behind their day. And you and me are no different. If you ever had someone call you at the worst possible moment, you're like, you couldn't have called me at a worse time. Like, I had to take my dog to the vet. I don't know if he's going to make it. My sister called me with some terrible news. And I just found out I had a massive leak in my roof and I don't have the money to fix it. So what can I do for you today, though? And, you know, it's like, they go, listen, I get it. This isn't the time. Let me call you back. And you just got to be creative. You got to be unconventional. If you're going to be a wholesaler, you have to be extremely unconventional. So, Deb, you have the gift of gab. You know how to talk to people.
I'm afraid, but I just said gave myself a kick in the pants.
Yeah.
And so I am doing it, driving for dollars, and I just want better numbers. So that's why I'm still that analysis paralysis. I'm afraid. But the numbers have been working. I was like, the number hasn't worked, but I won't get any better until I get good numbers to even talk to people. So
what are you afraid of exactly? Tell me.
I don't know. I guess a fear of the unknown. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm a recruiter. I've been doing this 14 years, so it's a breeze to me. But I told myself, Deb, you know, just like with this position, you had to get to know everything, so it was a little uncomfortable at first. So I just need to get some good numbers. That's why I was asking about skip tracing, so I can get the practice in.
I got it. So I'm going to give you this one adaptation before you leave. Okay. It's going to be a lot uncomfortable. A little is dabbling. A lot means, I have nothing to lose. I know what's on the other side. I did it for 14 years or whatever.
Yeah.
I know exactly what that is. And honestly, if I stay there, I'm probably going to lose my mind.
Yeah.
That's so I'm going to do something that I don't know. I don't have a proven track record in. But this guy, Rick, and his son did it. And honestly, Deb, I'm no different than you. You're probably much smarter than I am. You're definitely better looking than I am. So it doesn't matter. Honestly, if you can just be a truly authentic person, and then every time you talk to someone, you learn something a little bit new and you just figure it out. Because the reality of what we're doing, a lot of people think it's real estate. But what are we actually doing at the end of the day?
We're selling paper. Right. And we're helping out people.
Go deeper. What are you doing when you interact with people with their houses that need to sell them?
Yeah, we're helping them out of a difficult situation.
Honestly, when you get down to true wholesaling, you wind up being a psychologist, a social worker, an advocate, and an incredible human being. And if you like all four of those things align with like my heart, that's why I do it. Okay. But if I let the world label like a wholesaler, yo, they're greedy, they run people over, they steal people's equity. I'm like, I had an entire expose piece done on me about this.
And I saw you guys talk about that.
Yeah, they quoted like, if you don't make a low enough offer and you weren't embarrassed, like you believe this guy,
I saw that. You guys,
you can sit there and clip up any of my stuff. Channel. Why? Because I got 2,000 videos out. I don't care. I stand behind what I do. I've never forced anyone to sell me a property. I go to a title company. You want to bring an attorney? You can do whatever you want. I love everybody. But let me ask you, what's the difference between an attorney that charges $450 an hour to do something that could be done for $50 an hour? Yeah. What's if the realtor charges 6% on $1 million home that like anybody could technically do on their own? It's like the same thing.
Yeah, people, they just gave wholesalers a bad name.
That's it. So I don't like let people label me in a corner. I'm like, that's fine. I go, you do your path, I'll do mine. And I'm fine with it. It's always going to be strange, especially most of you coming from the corporate world or you're coming from a traditional school. We were all brought up to be employees.
Yes.
We've been trained our entire life to be an employee.
Yes.
So it seems overwhelming when we're like, oh, hey, you want to run your job. I will tell you this, of all the careers you can pick, wholesaling, in my opinion, and I'm biased, you know it, has the best chance because you don't need an enormous amount of money to get it started. Actually, little to none. I've already proved that. See, you work from your own home, so you don't have all the traditional straps you have on a business. So check all your friends that went out to open their own business, restaurants, their own accounting firm. Incredible amounts of overhead. It is overwhelming. Yes. And by the way, I've opened multiple other types of businesses to get a 10 to 15% return to put up $3 to $5 million. It sucks. Do you know, like my wholesale profit when I first started, when I didn't pay for any method, I was earning about 95% profitability. That means every dollar I took in, I kept 95 cents.
Wow. That's
a awesome. Traditional business, just to let you know, if you keep 20 to 30% of it, you did really good. And I don't know any other way. Now it's some of the stuff's harder. I'll be the first to admit to it. But if you get past it, when you get the profit, you get to keep most of it and you build it. And a lot of people say, well, it's a job. Correct. But it's a job that buys incredible assets. And then once you get financially set and you free yourself, you collect those assets. And those assets, if you just decide to do it for 5 years and then you retire, your business will pay you for the rest of your life. And that's where a lot of people, they get stuck on like wholesaling. I go, listen, it is a job, but I'm telling you, I picked a few of these things over the last 20 years. Unbelievable how much money they produced for me. At the time, I thought they were a complete nightmare. And I wouldn't have that opportunity if I wasn't a wholesaler.
No, Rick, I've been trying to do this for about 5 years. It's a fear. And I'll look at properties that I've looked at 4 years ago. They're just being sold. And I was like, if you don't get off your butt. And I told myself, one is like a small apartment complex. It's like 50 units. It's in a trendy part of town. And I saw that they were behind on their taxes and all these. And I said, you didn't even move out of fear because you don't know what you're doing. And so that's what made me get a kick in the pants. I was like, damn, that's just money you just threw out the window because you didn't do anything. So, yeah.
And keep in mind, when you guys sense fear, like somehow we're programmed in society to like duck and run.
Yes.
And honestly, if you're going to come out and be a wholesaler, fear is, oh, I guarantee it's going to come out hard and strong. There's only one way to deal with it. You got to just go at it head on.
Head on.
And honestly, this works for any part of your life, but we've been so programmed to like run and hide. Listen, I'd be the first to tell you, my mom called me when I was young. I was like, I don't know, protect. And like, I had to learn things kind of the hard way. Like I didn't realize how brutal life could be. Yeah. And so when you hear fear in wholesaling, you have to do the opposite of what you did in the corporate world. In the corporate world, it's all about dodge, cover, hide, duck, weave, you know? And you all know what I mean by your bosses. Like Everybody took the fall for their boss. I did it so many times. I got sick and tired of doing it. So now you're out on an island and you're doing this. I'm just telling you, I don't want you to try to wholesale.
No,
you must wholesale.
Yeah.
And I'm just telling you, whatever you decide is your must in life, you're going to get. Think about the things you do right now. You do them because it's a must for Deb.
Yes.
And you got to look at wholesaling the exact same way. And just, you're going to have trials and tribulations understanding it. And it's part of the journey. And there is no shortcut to it. I don't care if you guys paid someone 20 grand to mentor you, 10, 5, or you did it through freewholesaling.com. Everyone goes through the journey. I've done it. I've paid people. I've learned a lot more for free and doing organic networking. That's why I'm a big advocate of it, because I feel this business is so muddied up. Keep it simple. Just talk to people and focus on the ones that need to sell versus the ones that want to sell, and just keep working through it. And eventually, if you keep the mentality, you'll have more wins and losses. And after a year or two, you'll be blown away what will happen. But the first, I've always told you, the first year or two, it's a journey. And you got to smile while you do it and have fun.
Yeah.
You were very good at what you did before. You just take whatever you're really good with that, you apply that, and then you do the stuff and go, listen, this is wildly uncomfortable, but I'm going to get through it. No one's going to kill me here. I'll live. And then if I survive to the other side, I'm going to find a new me in here. And then I'm going to be able to give back everything I wanted to my family. And I'm going to give more of Deb. And that's why I do it, guys. That's why I have such an incredible relationship with my kids. By the way, I have a daughter. I just don't have a son. She just chose a different career path.
Sure.
It's because I'm passionate about what I did. But with my son, he saw me every day. And we spent a lot of time together. And he's like, I don't even understand what you do. And then it opened up to a net. I waited till he asked me. I never pushed anything on him. And once you get a kid curiosity, get out of the way, man.
Yeah, because they're going to have a lot of questions. Okay, my other thing is I'll probably reach out to you guys once I get the contract. Because I did, you know how you go into Facebook groups. But I'm running into a lot of wholesalers trying to daisy chain. Well, they're trying to sell it as well, you know.
Yeah, you don't need to listen. You can work with other wholesalers if that's kind of – that works really well when you do virtual, but if you're doing it in your local market, you don't really need it. And then if you want to work with a wholesaler that's like, oh, my God, this guy's like huge in your local market, someone like me, just meet with them, tell them what you want to do, and just say, listen, let's do an X amount of split or something like that. And then just say, listen, you can't assign this guy. So, by the way, you control your assignments.
Okay.
You can put on there. They can't. So my assignment agreement says you can't assign it without my permission. So if you try to go around me, I'll just cut you out of the contract. So, okay. But the problem is them dealing directly with your sellers. So I always try to do it first yourself. But if you're in a jam, sometimes you got to get help, because I'd rather make some profit as opposed to no profit.
Okay. All right. I'm going to let you get on here with someone else.
Okay.
Thank you, Rick. And I'll be talking to him.
Okay. Awesome. Okay, guys. So do me a favor. If you enjoyed today's content, make sure you subscribe to this channel. I think going for no will absolutely change how you do wholesaling, because I've got 21 years backing me up. And I'm here to tell you, if you invoke this method early, and I mean early in your career, it will teach you a discipline. It's like golf. If you learn the right swing up front, it's so much easier. And I struggle with my swing for a long time, and I want to let you know. Make sure you subscribe to the Rick Ginn channel. Also, guys, you can check out my son on the Zach Ginn channel. And then, as always, we collaborate on the Flip with Rick channel. And that will be at Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern time. Guys, I enjoyed you. Listen, if you enjoyed the content, make sure you smash that like button. Make sure you subscribed. Peace out. See you guys later.